All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it's one of our special trailer roundup episodes. We are going to take a look at October, the spooky month of October, and figure out what's coming out soon and kind of guess some puzzle pieces just based on trailers for about 10 movies that are coming in the month of October. We'll also take a quick look back at September. Joining me, as always, for these special trailer episodes is Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year, which is right now posting a bunch of bonus episodes before getting into their next season. They just wrapped up the season of 1992, and it was an awesome year for movies, obviously, and excited for the next season. So that is coming up. But let's take a quick look back before we get into this conversation with Jason about the movies coming in October. And look at some listener-provided puzzle pieces for some of the movies we covered in September. I got a few here. First of all, for Pearl, which we covered on the show with Paul Hibbard, Johnny Orcutt from the A24 Film Group mentioned Straitjacket with Joan Crawford. And I've never actually seen it, but the poster with her wielding an axe, is a pretty good clue of why he would bring that one up. For My Son Hunter, which I still can't believe we actually covered, Adam Wells over in the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group mentioned Citizen Kane. Obviously, they thought they were making something very special with that movie. And then See How They Run, which we just did an amazing live episode, which was our most recent episode of Piecing It Together at the moment. Someone in the theater actually mentioned Murder by Death, which I told him that I knew about the meta elements of that and how it would make a great piece, but I actually haven't seen it, so I need to watch that movie. It sounds great. And then our guest Raul, his wife mentioned Rope, which I think you could see how that would work. And then Josie DeMarco over in the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group said they might be giants. So those are some listener puzzle pieces for episodes we covered in September. As always, if you think of any puzzle pieces we should have brought up, get in touch. Would love to hear from you. And I'll read them on the trailer episode the following month as we look back and then look forward. So speaking of looking forward, let's talk about some movies coming in October. All right, Jason Harris is with us. It's time for another month of trailers. Jason, how's it going?
Dave, it's that time of the year again. It's my favorite time of the year. I love the holiday season. You know me. Happy, go lucky. Always,
yeah,
always just right on the level, right on the surface, you know. But I do love the holiday season, and it's the best time of year for movies. So I'm hoping we're going to get some good ones. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited to talk to you today. We got a lot of movies to cover. We have a lot of September movies to look back at. I think at least I saw a bunch of them, but I'm not sure about you. But we'll see
as
we get into them.
Yeah. Do you like the holidays, Dave?
I love the holidays. Plus, my birthday is in October.
My God.
Everything starts in October, and the rest of the year is great always, you know?
Well, you tell me what we're going to do for your birthday off air, because I don't want all these, you know, suck pigs in your audience trying to glom on to your birthday party.
Jason has such a way with words. Yeah, we'll figure that out off mic for sure. But let's take a look back at September before we get into the spooky month of October. We got a lot of spooky movies on our list. But for September, we talked about Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul, which unfortunately was kind of I think. You watched that, right?
Yeah, I did watch it. And not only that, it was even more for me because it was on Peacock. And on my TV, the aspect ratio didn't change. So I was like, what kind of filmmaking technique is this? Like, where it's like sometimes it's verite and sometimes when it's convenient, it's not. But I think I would have enjoyed it a little more if I had seen it in the correct aspect ratio changing, because that's part of the story the whole time, you know?
So. Yeah, that's really strange. But yeah, I mean, I would have enjoyed it more with a crowd, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, it just didn't quite work story-wise. I thought the two of them were great. We didn't cover it on the show as a full episode, but, you know, we talked about it last month. And it's got its moments, and the two stars are great. It just didn't all kind of come together.
Why do you think you would have enjoyed it more with a crowd? This isn't like Jaws or something like that. I don't know.
I think it would have been funnier, at least. Like, even if it didn't all work out story-wise, I think there would have been bigger laughs rather than just a couple of chuckles here and there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm going to disagree with you. I think it's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. Next up, a movie I did not watch yet, but I think we know is just awful, and that's Pinocchio. Did you watch Pinocchio? You've got a kid. Did you?
Yeah, I did a baby, but I didn't watch the Pinocchio because it's supposed to be so bad.
It's supposed to be just awful. Everybody hates this movie. I don't know.
And supposedly he doesn't talk like that at all, but maybe looking back, that was the move. Dave, what do you think? So
I don't know. As we know, we're all pretty much worn out on these, live action Disney remakes as it is. And then this one just with the bad reviews, and it just seems like it kind of was a perfect storm of blah. So
I feel like, I know Marvel and Star Wars are still killing it, but is Disney really setting himself up for a precipitous fall by like not developing any original content and being like, hey, you know this movie that people love? Let's make a crappy live-action version that's got none of the soul of the original and just go from there. I don't know, man. I don't like what's going on at Disney. I'll tell you that much, Bob Chapek.
You tell him. Next up, Clerks 3, which, as you know, I watched and absolutely hated. I hate starting off the episode so negative, but I hated it so much. We're not going to cover it on the show. I will recommend that people go listen to friend of the show, Joe Black's 1-hour-long analysis of the movie. I think it's actually a lot more fun than the movie itself. It's so disappointing what's going on with Kevin Smith and these movies he's been making.
I wanted to see it, Dave. Obviously, original Clerks means a lot to me and you and all these other people.
Yeah.
And I love that he's doing the roadshow tour. And, that's a question for you. Do you think you would have enjoyed it more if you saw it in the roadshow setting? But also, I agree, like, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't want to judge it, but I haven't heard many good things, except if you're in part of that, like the world of Kevin Smith's Facebook group. And then it's like,
right,
look who I met. Ooh, it had all the feels. Gee.
That's exactly what it is. It's feels, and it's just fan service, and it's just the snake eating its tail, and there's just nothing there anymore. And yeah, I don't know. I think it was worse than Jay and Silent Bob reboot. And
don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, exactly. So
do you think if you saw it with a crowd, you would have liked it?
I mean, it would be hard not to like get some of that energy from, all of his fans just like going nuts for everything, because make no mistake, the hardcore, View Askew Universe fans, they all really did enjoy it, and good for them. I'm happy they did. I think some of that would have rubbed off on me, but it's still just such an empty story and just rehashing things and with no particular reason for redoing it all. It's hard to imagine I'd have really liked it that much.
It's really amazing that you need a crowd to influence you so much on movies. It's like you can't think for yourself.
I don't think that's what it is. I think it's that maybe it would enhance the experience a little bit. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of experiencing movies with a crowd, next up is See How They Run, which we just did a live episode on in California. It was a really great time. Had some great guests come out. That's the most recent episode of Piecing It Together at the time of this recording. And the movie's good, too. I saw it once without a crowd and then once with a crowd, and it was good both times. You didn't watch it yet, did you?
I didn't even know it's out where I live. I'm not on the Piecing It Together roadshow, but I did listen to your episode, and I liked the live episode. That was good.
Awesome. Yeah, I think you'll like it. Next up is The Woman King, which I'm actually planning on going to see tonight. I haven't gotten a chance yet. Did you see it?
No, I don't know what there is there. We all know Viola Davis is great, but I don't think this one needs to be seen in theaters. You'll have to tell me. But maybe end of the year, rainy day, I'll give it a watch.
All right. Next is Pearl, which I loved. It's the prequel to X, and I think better than X. We did cover it on Piecing It Together. We have an episode on it, and it's great. I think And I think that people who have watched it have all been really loving it.
That's exciting. I watched X finally, Dave, and I liked X. So, and you know, I'm not a huge horror person, but I did like X, and I think I used it as a puzzle piece today. So I'm looking forward to Pearl.
Nice. Right on. Don't Worry, Darling, of course, with all of its, you know, behind the scenes drama. It finally came out and did pretty well. I did not get a chance to see it yet, but I'm hoping to later this week, even with all of its mixed reviews. You didn't see it, did you?
What mixed reviews? It's supposed to be terrible.
Some people liked it. I mean, everything that I've heard about it, like review wise, makes it sound terrible, but there are people, it's got its fans. And so I don't know. I'm still interested in seeing it.
Yeah. You'll have to let me know. I definitely would not go to the theater to see this one.
Surprisingly, our next one, Rob Zombie's The Munsters, is getting some pretty good feedback. As bad as that trailer was, people are saying it's way better than the trailer would let on.
I have heard the same thing, you know, for the most part. There has been, of course, the few who are like, is this even a movie at this point? But
yeah,
we're going to have to watch that, I guess. I'll watch it. It's holiday season. And as you know, we're about to talk about a lot of Halloween movies. So I'll just throw this one on the list. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's not out in wide release yet. So we'll be getting that soon.
It's on Netflix, isn't it? It's not on Netflix?
Oh, you know what? It actually came out today on Netflix. So, yeah. So, I don't know why it's a September release. It probably should have been an October release anyway. But, yeah, it's out today. So, hopefully, you'll get to watch that soon. But, anyway, Blonde came out today on Netflix, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet. Some people absolutely hate this movie because of the way it treats Marilyn Monroe. But some people say it's amazing. I really don't know what to expect. I guess we'll see when I watch it.
I don't know either. I don't know if I can put up with Andrew Dominic, or is it Andrew or Andrew, Andrea, whatever. Yeah, I don't know if I could put up with another 3-hour movie from this guy. I love Chopper, but everything since, not a fan. So yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Smile is out this weekend, so obviously we haven't seen it yet, but it's getting some pretty good reviews from the early screenings. Same goes for Bros, which, you know, both of those were kind of a little mixed on what to expect from them, so...
Yeah, I don't know if Bros is getting good reviews, is it?
Yeah, I've seen some really good feedback on that one. There was just a screening last night, which I wasn't able to go to. But yeah, I mean, hopeful for both of those. And then The Greatest Beer Run Ever, also not out. That comes out tomorrow at the time of this recording.
Yeah.
That's also getting fairly, like, better than Green Book, but not by much kind of reviews.
You know, it's like, hey, these are tolerable. But I want to say of the three, like, let's give a little dap to Smile with their ad campaigns and like really, you know, getting people involved via social media. And, you know, the movie, as we said, just looks insane anyway. So, like, I think they're doing a good job drumming up smiles to see the movie. Smile. Yeah. Excitement.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
Hey, Dave, that was the last one, right?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, I'm not in the Las Vegas Film Critics Society, but I just wanted to I wanted to mention a few that I did see that were from August that I didn't have the time to see that you had seen already. I saw it because, you know, it was $3 movie day. I caught up.
Jason's 3,000, making his own rules for the episode, but that's
3,000 Years of Longing. I know you loved. You're dumb. Emily the Criminal, one of the better movies of the year. Really liked that one. And then I mentioned X, which was from earlier. But what about, you know, we didn't cover that came out this month on Peacock was Meet Cute, which is amazing that no one even knows what this is because it's Pete Davidson and Kaley Cuoco. And it's not very good, but I just thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, that movie definitely came out of nowhere. I don't remember seeing it on any of the lists when we were putting together our trailer episode lists. And yeah, I don't know where that came from, but you are wrong about 3,000 Years of Longing, but that's okay.
Oh. One of the more dreadful movie experiences I've had this year.
Fair enough, fair enough. Let's talk about some October movies. And
yeah!
Like I said, there's a lot of Halloween, a lot of spooky stuff, and kicking it off is Mr. Harrigan's Phone on Netflix on October 5th, which is a Stephen King adaptation produced by Ryan Murphy and directed by John Lee Hancock, who did The Little Things and The Blind Side. I think it's about an old guy who befriends this kid, and the kid gets him a phone, and the old guy dies, but he keeps getting messages from the old guy. Is that?
Yeah, we talked about this on Awesome Movie Year. Neither you nor Josh remember this, but I had mentioned this as an upcoming project. Maybe we had covered Donald Sutherland or something, or John Lee Hancock. I don't remember. But I like the concept of it, and I think you're pretty much right. This kid's getting bullied, and then, you know, he called, hey, Mr. Harrigan, I wish you were still here. And I think we're going to find out some real secrets about this Harrigan fellow. Yeah. Sure. So my pieces were White Noise, that Michael Keaton movie where he was hearing, you know, kind of sounds from beyond. This kind of felt like that kind of updated communication on that. I put Phone Booth in there with Colin Farrell because I needed a phone-centric movie, you know?
Okay, fair.
And then, as I mentioned, I think we're going to find out that Mr. Harrigan, the old man, had some deep, tucked-away skeletons in the closet. So I went with Apt Pupil, which was a good movie, you know? But Bryan Singer's got some skeletons in his closet, doesn't he?
Yeesh. Oh, yeah. By the way, was it Ordinary People that you brought up Mr. Harrington's phone?
Hey, bro, you did a good one.
All right, there we go. So. I had a movie from this year, which obviously is too new, but maybe you could go back to the short story that it was adapted from, Stephen King's Sons, The Black Phone, which I did not really like the movie, but, you know.
Didn't you hate the movie? I thought you hated the movie.
I feel like I've been too negative this episode. I'm just going to say I didn't like it, but yeah.
Just be honest.
It's like my least favorite movie this year that's not called The Bubble. But anyway, there's a phone that, you know, the kid's getting help and clues through this mysterious phone to the dead, you know. So it seems like there's a lot of influence there from his son's story. Or maybe it came first. I'm not sure. But the other one I thought of is The Night House from last year with Rebecca Hall, which is a good, scary movie. And she's getting texts from her dead husband in it. So again, I went with the phone connection to the dead. It seems like a thing, you know. I feel like nowadays phones are so connected to our lives that you kind of have to write them into these kind of stories. So it makes sense there. So those are my pieces. Up next on the list.
Oh man, Dave, breaking communication. This is amazing. This is my favorite thing that's ever happened. I've received a direct message from Gina Mazzoni right now, and it says, Dave's lying! He detested the black phone! Fucking detested it! What a breaking! Bravo, Gina!
I guess I can't hide any longer. That's the truth. Awful movie. Just so bad. I don't know how people like that. But anyway, next up is Lyle Crocodile. Jason, I'm sure you're excited for this one. October 7th in theaters, Shawn Mendes stars as Lyle Crocodile. It's a very ridiculous looking musical adaptation of the kid's character. The main reason I wanted to include it on the list, though, is so we could talk about how amazing Javier Bardem looks in this.
I agree with you. I was like, what is Javier Bardem doing in this? And then he just looks hilarious. So.
It looks so ridiculous. But yeah.
Who's Shawn Mendes?
He's a big pop singer. He's like an Ed Sheeran type, you know?
Yeah.
He's got some big hits.
Yeah, no, I knew who he was. I wanted to hear you tell me.
Okay, cool.
Listen, so no, this doesn't look good at all. And we've seen like 38 versions of this lately. Clifford the Big Red Dog, right? Mm-hmm. Sonic's kind of a version of this. This all stems from Paddington, which is the best, right?
Sure.
And then I don't know if you've seen this movie on Netflix. It's called Arlo the Alligator Boy. And it's about this alligator who lives in the bayou and wants to go to New York to become famous. It's not very good, but at least Gina's not messaging me that I'm lying about it.
Sure. There you go. It's good to be honest on these podcasts, Jason. Yeah, I had Clifford on my list as well. I mean, you know, it's a big, crazy animated animal getting his family into trouble. I also had Sing, those movies that, you know, totally confound me with animated animals singing pop songs. This seems to be like a lot more musical than a lot of these movies are because of the casting of Shawn Mendes. So, like, I don't know anything about Lyle Crocodile. Like, is he normally a singer? Is that like a big part of this character? Do you know?
I don't know anything about it, but I did recognize the lead kid from Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made, a favorite of all of ours.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Let's go back to Halloween time and talk about Hellraiser coming to Hulu on October 7th, a new reboot of the classic Clive Barker story, this time with Jamie Clayton from the L Word, Generation Q, and Sense8 stepping in to play Pinhead. It hopefully is going to be more like the first two Hellraisers, because I just rewatched those for the first time in 20-something years just recently, and they're great, those first two. And it looks good. It's the director of The Nighthouse, which I just brought up recently, so hopefully it'll be good.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you. I was, like, I didn't think this didn't bring any fear, any scariness. I felt like this trailer felt very flat. Like, I remember those Pinhead you know, from when we were kids. And when you would see Pinhead, it was scary, right?
Yeah.
You know, and this, none of it felt scary to me, which is, you know, the opposite of, I think, the next trailer we're going to cover, which I thought was incredibly effective. And, you know, one of the things this year, as we've talked about, is, like, a lot of these horror movies have been real duds, but they've done really good trailers. But this trailer just didn't feel good, didn't feel like much to me. It did feel a lot like Stranger Things to me, and I put down this idea Shazam because of the whole, like, you are culling people from another world and you're going to the other world and there's a whole thing. I don't know, it didn't mean much to me, but that's what I got out of it. So.
Okay, interesting stuff. Well, you know, and to the scariness of it, I mean, it's more just like fucked up, those movies, then it is scary. Like, it's like weird and creepy, but strange, more strange than anything.
I didn't get any of it. I'm saying I felt like this felt flat. I didn't get the creepiness of it. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, I went with Saw because of the puzzle boxes. And a thing I think, if we end up covering Hellraiser, like, it's going to be one of those episodes where a lot of the things that influenced it were probably themselves inspired by the original Hellraiser. It's such an influential movie. The other one I thought of was Mortal Kombat, because there's a lot of, like, visual cues to the way that this underworld is created with the chains and the fire and all that kind of stuff. But again, that's another one that feels like it was probably inspired by the original Hellraiser. So,
well,
those are my pieces.
Either, you know, underworld underneath, you know, upside down.
Yeah, there you go.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, I like it. There we go. I like it. Well, next up, Halloween Ends. Theaters and Peacock on October 14th. The final chapter of the David Gordon Green, Danny McBride Halloween reboot trilogy. Probably going to be the final one to feature Jamie Lee Curtis, although, then again, we've said that many times before. I really did not like the last one. So I don't know what to expect with this.
It looked like you were excited about this. It looked like you were excited about this trailer here.
No, not particularly. I feel like we have to be because it's Halloween, but, you know.
I mean, I like the idea of, like, hey, I got to take you out, and if I have to die, you know, then I'm going to die with it. And then, you know, the other idea of Jamie Lee Curtis having this huge renaissance right now with Everything Everywhere All at Once, and now this.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
We could see some really fun stuff from her. I thought this trailer looked really good. So what do I know? So,
well, I don't think the trailer necessarily looks bad. I just think the last two sucked. And so it's like, it's no matter how good the trailer is, like, it's hard to get excited for it, you know?
Well, you're going to be excited about my puzzle pieces right now, Dave.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
She's walking around in the house with a knife. You know, that feels like Scream, which probably feels like an older Halloween, right? Another thing that's, like, influenced by itself, probably. I put a Trick or Treat. You remember when we covered that on an awesome movie year? Because there is that whole, like, what's going on in the neighborhood while everyone's trick-or-treating type feel. Yeah. And then, of course, she lures him into... there's a whole thing where Michael Myers, you know, kills this... what appears to be a radio, a DJ, or a disc jockey, as they used to call the radio jockey, Dave. You know? And so, you know, I thought of The Fog, which we covered an awesome movie here. It's like a horror movie homage there. But I think we can all agree the biggest puzzle piece, Dave... She's luring Michael Myers to the house, and he's going to get and all the booby traps, like Home Alone.
I love it. Yeah, good one. That's a very good one. I wonder if I brought up Home Alone on the first of this like reboot trilogy. I don't know, because that is good. There's a lot of booby trapping for Michael Myers going on. But speaking of what I brought up on previous ones, this might seem lazy to you, but
because you're going to put Halloween, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Sort of. I went back to our Halloween Kills episode and literally just wrote down all of the puzzle pieces we talked about. And I'm just going to recite them off for you right
now.
All
right.
We talked about Alien Covenant, Frankenstein, Halloween, Halloween 2, Halloween 4, Signs, the South Park Townspeople, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, The Last Jedi, The Purge, and The Simpsons. So I'm going to assume most, if not all, of these same pieces will apply here.
You know what felt more lazy? Not that you did that, but that people on, or you on that episode were like, you know what influenced Halloween? Halloween!
To be fair, David Mikor, my guest on that episode, he brought up very specific moments and things that... you know, we're callbacks and Easter eggs and things like that.
Well, pardon me, Messer Mikor. I didn't realize that. Yes. If you're like a super fan and you could be like, hey, this relates to this, then that's fair. I take it
by
back.
By all means.
You still stink though, Dave.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Let's talk about The Curse of Bridge Hollow coming to Netflix on October 14th. I didn't even see this one. You brought this one to my attention. It's a... like a family-friendly horror comedy. It stars Marlon Wayans, who I was just wondering, where has Marlon Wayans been? He hasn't really been in much lately. Kelly Rowlands, a bunch of like comedy-related people. Rob Riggle. I don't know. It looks kind of fun in that like silly, goofy kind of way.
I'm excited for it, and that is horrifying to me. And this looks like a Halloween movie that I would... can like try to write type thing, you know? So
yeah.
I mean, the thing is, they move to this town and the town is all excited about the holiday, but then, you know, they unleash a spell and all the Halloween decorations come to life or something.
Something
like
that.
They have to fight the decorations before midnight. Some nonsense, but it looked fun. I don't know. Leave me alone.
By the way, just to throw in before you get to it, let's bring Trick or Treat back up again, because that's here.
Yeah, I think that could have been on a lot of them. I mean, not surprisingly, Hocus Pocus is on there because of the whole like old town lore and everything. And we didn't talk about Hocus Pocus 2, which also comes out this week. And then, you know, things come into life at night. You go right to Night at the Museum. Yep. Oh, and Hubie Halloween.
That's the first one on my list. Yeah, absolutely. This is it being a Netflix movie. It almost at first felt like it was going to be a sequel to Hubie Halloween. It seems like the same setup practically. The other one I thought of is Werewolves Within, which was another like kind of crowd pleasing light like horror movie. Not family friendly though, because it does get gory, but very goofy though. So that was from 2020, I believe. And then maybe throw in some Ghostbusters as well while you're at it. So, you know, a lot of that kind of spooky, family-friendly kind of comedy.
I mean, I can almost guarantee you this is one I'll watch this coming month.
Awesome. Great.
Nah, Don't tell me.
Next up is Bitch Ass on VOD, also October 14th, with Tony Todd sharing the story of the first black masked serial killer. It looks absolutely ridiculous.
It looks great. You know, first of all, the name is fantastic too,
right?
So, you know, this is, you had Saw earlier. This is where I put Saw, because they're like, we're going to play a game and we're going to do this and do all the murders. And then, you know, it's one of those, you know, this theme has been pretty constant this year, where people go to a remote place and, you know, I mean, we talked about X a minute ago, right? They go to a remote place and they don't realize they're going to get murdered by the murderers there. But I think a little more specifically, the theme of like, we're breaking in, right? And because we're the power people. And then you broke into the wrong house and now you're about to get that ass bitched.
Is that a phrase? Did you just make that up?
I mean, that's what I'm here for. So
There you go. I like it. I'll go with Don't Breathe also for that same reason of breaking into the wrong house. Also, Tales from the Hood, which absolutely freaking rules. And Tony Todd seems to be, you know, channeling some Clarence Williams III in there. So that is a classic. So I would be down for more of that. And then I had Saw on my list as well, when, like you said.
You're a classic, Dave. You're a classic. So, hey, what's the one? It's on AMC Plus right now. It did well at the festivals. It's from another country, and it's another one of those, like, you broke into the wrong house type deals. It's supposed to be insane.
Is that Speak No Evil?
Yeah, that's the one.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, I heard great things about it.
You want to come over and watch it?
Let's do it. I'm down.
All right. We'll be back, guys.
All right, next up, White Bird, A Wonder Story. We're stepping away from the Halloween stuff for a minute. This is coming to theaters October 14th. It is the inexplicable prequel to the movie Wonder, where a young boy with a deformity is having trouble fitting in at school and dealing with bullying. And now we go back in time. I believe it's the bully's mom when she was in school during World War II. And the bullying she dealt with, I don't know.
So
I don't know
so actually, it's a sequel, prequel, because
okay, so it goes and forward.
Well, no, I think it starts forward because the bully. It's about the bully, right? Like, hey, you bullied this kid. Now let me tell you why bullying's bad. It's because I'm a Jew. It's because I'm a Jew, and the Holocaust happened. Is what the preview leads you to believe, right?
Can I just say when I saw this trailer in the theater? And the kid is looking at her drawings and goes, these are pretty good for a Jew. And then the music goes, boom. I laughed out loud in a quiet theater, and I felt like such an asshole. It was the funniest shit I've ever heard.
That is funny. Also, like, Jews aren't known for, like, being bad artists. It's not like, these are pretty good for a Jew, right? Right. It's not like one of the things... you know, like, it's a weird thing to, like, you know, tack on for a Jew for and everything.
Yeah. Like that, so. So strange. What do you have for pieces here?
Let's see. Inglourious Bastards, because it seems like they're doing a little historical rewriting. Then this kind of, like, time jump Holocausty. I don't like that one. So,
thank you.
Hey, Dave. Yeah. Did you...
I'm just gonna move forward.
Did you hear about the Gentile who went into the Jewish bakery and wanted to buy some bread and asked the baker how much does the Holocaust? And the baker says about 6 million of us. I'm Jewish. I can tell that joke, Dave.
We both are. So, yeah, it's a lie. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
This is not good.
I might want to cut that.
I threw in the Karate Kid for a bullying movie.
All right. I have real ones here. Okay. I actually had real ones. What did I mention, Dave? What movie are we talking about?
You mentioned Inglourious Bastards. Right? So
yeah. That's the no, wait. I put Atonement because there's atoning in a warlike situation, right? Cinema Paradiso because there seems to be like a whole... Am I on the right movie? How did I get these pieces?
I'm not sure. Yeah, this is weird.
Yeah, but no, but there was like a whole thing of like them getting together, right? And like, do you want to see the world? You can, you know, right? Am I talking about the right thing? And then I had Hugo and the Reader. That feels like it's right. There must have been a whole thing about them like makeshifting a movie in the preview. Because I put both of them down.
I feel like you watched the Fablemans trailer. Honestly, like
speaking of Jews, right, Dave?
Jews, yeah. All right, I feel like we should move on to our next.
What did you put in? Yours?
The Karate Kid, and then I tried to think of like the most inexplicable prequel, and I went with Cruella. So, like, you know, a movie that tells the backstory of a character that you really wouldn't have expected to need a backstory for. You know,
what would be interesting is if we could find a puzzle piece that has like that same thing of like, hey, we're moving forward in the story and also telling what happened before the story, like a sandwich.
A Quiet Place Part 2?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go. I got one. Yeah, let's move on to Black Adam. This movie looks ridiculous. It's coming to theaters October 21st. It's DC's biggest anti-hero, starring The Rock. He's part of the Shazam universe, apparently. This movie's been in the works for a long time. He's apparently a big character, and they're hanging a lot of hope on this thing. Even though I'd never even heard of him until I heard, oh, The Rock is making a superhero movie called Black Adam. Do you know this character?
No, I mean, they did a little Easter egg, you know, post-credit scene in a DC League of Super Pets, mm-hmm. Which is still on my top 10 list this year, which tells you how bad movies are. But yeah, I mean, cause The Rock played a dog voice and he plays Black Adam. So, you know, he was doing like, The Rock is, you know, doing everything. So,
yeah.
But you know, I did see at the end of the preview, at the end of the trailer, they were like advertising the comic books too. So I don't know how many people, you know, beyond comic book and DC fans actually know the character, but it looks, you know, it's going to have big explosions and The Rock's going to be, you know, Clint Eastwood-y, you know, okay, so, you know, when you do the anti-hero, I feel like this is the most referenced puzzle piece for me. When we're doing the anti-hero superhero movie, I always go back to Logan, because that's still my favorite, you know?
Yeah.
And I know I mentioned that a lot, but there was this whole thing about, like, I was a slave, and then I died, and then I became a god, and my son died for me, right? And that was very Thor Love and Thunder, wasn't that like the whole thing with Christian Bale's character?
Yeah.
And then it had a Watchmen feel to it, this whole idea of like the emotional tonage or lack thereof with the god. It had a little Watchmen feel. That last Watchmen miniseries was awesome.
All right, right on. Yeah, I'm glad we didn't overlap with our superhero puzzle pieces, because I had the first Iron Man on my list. I'm pretty sure there is a scene in Iron Man where he's whacking planes out of the sky, you know, while flying next to them. So, I mean, that just kind of seemed like right out of that. And then the other one I had, you know, The Rock and Vin Diesel are pretty linked, you know, cosmically almost. So I went with Bloodshot, Vin Diesel's attempt at launching a superhero movie. And, didn't quite work out, but they both are just like completely unstoppable, and you know, that's not surprising given their like actual personas in real life, the kind of superhero they'd want to play, you know. So it fits.
All right, there we go. Here's the big one, Dave. This is gonna be the big date movie coming up, right?
You gotta have a date movie in the month of October. This is Ticket to Paradise in theaters October 21st, starring George Clooney and Julia Roberts. Reuniting after the Ocean's movies and Money Monster, and they're playing a divorced couple who go on a trip to stop their daughter from marrying some guy, and then they may or may not get back together.
Right, they hate each other, but they got to work together.
That's right.
This guy, they don't know him. You know, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like a movie from 20 years ago. Like, oh, we have a big tentpole comedy, and the main stars are going to be wacky, although it seems a little unlikable what they're doing, like, hey, let's steal the rings and do all this and whatever. But you know, they're both good at comedy. There's a beautiful setting. It's a date movie. We'll see how it does. Maybe it'll be a hit. Who knows? Nothing's a hit anymore, Dave.
That's true.
I mean, this is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. This is also My Best Friend's Wedding with the Sabotage. And then you got the setting and the wackiness that ensues. I put The White Lotus, which quite a strange limited series there. A lot of HBO limited series on my list, apparently, too.
Yeah, apparently. I love that show so much, so I dig it. I will throw in there maybe It's Complicated for another of those, you know, kind of movies. You know, speaking of making a movie in 2022 that is a throwback to old style movies, I threw Marry Me on the list, the Jennifer Lopez movie, because that is like just so perfectly back in time, you know, and so it just felt like a good one. Also, even though it's not a father-daughter thing, I thought of Sofia Coppola's On the Rocks with Bill Murray and his daughter kind of going to stop a relationship from happening.
The thing with Marry Me, though, is it just went right to streaming, though, right? It didn't have like a theatrical release. That's why I think you could still make these movies, but to actually just go like, we're going all in on theatrical, like, that's what interests me about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you have stars this big, it's good that they're at least trying. So, you know, we'll see what happens. The last one I'm actually really looking forward to. It's The Good Nurse. It'll be on Netflix October 26th. From director Tobias Lindholm, who did A War and also was a co-writer, I believe, on Another Round and The Hunt. Stars Jessica Chastain and Eddie Redmayne, and a true story about, I believe, a nurse who is like killing people by overdosing them in the hospital with insulin. And it looks creepy and good, and they're good actors.
And so there's about 50 podcasts that cover this territory. Aren't
really?
There Dr. Death and this, and it's all like, yeah. I feel like this is a very true crime podcast. You know, I mean, this is based on a true story. I wonder if there was a podcast about this. The other piece I picked was the last season of Fargo and Jesse Buckley's character that I just wanted to strangle the entire season, which was an effective portrayal, but she was a nurse who did the murders, Dave.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, spoiler alert.
Here's
another one that, which is a better series even, Yellow Jackets, where Christina Ricci is a nurse who, I don't know if she does the murders, but she definitely mistreats her patients.
All right. Well, speaking of doctors or nurses who do murders, I thought of Dr. Giggles, which I haven't seen since high school, but, you know.
Dr. Giggles.
Why not? Also, you know, maybe there's, you know, a caretaker harming the person, a little Munchausen by proxy. I thought of, like, Love You to Death and The Act, like that whole story, which, again, takes you back to the whole true crime podcast, because I'm sure there's 100 podcasts about that.
Mommy
story.
Dead and Dearest and blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That's our last movie for the month of October. I know there's a lot more coming, especially in limited release, things like Tar and Triangle of Sadness and The Banshees of Inisherin, which I can't wait for, but I'm not sure when the full release of that is. I know we're talking about covering Amsterdam when it comes out, the new David O. Russell movie. Were there any other October movies you wanted to kind of shout out before we wrap it up?
You mentioned a good amount of them. So Armageddon Time is going to be, that's James Gray's movie. That's going to be at the, I don't know when we'll get that, but there's so many movies that we didn't, here's just a partial list that, you know, Bromates, Operation Seawolf, Catherine Called Birdie, Loneliest Boy in the World, Stars at Noon, you know, and then Wendell and Wilde, All Quiet on the Western Front, School for Good and Evil, just tons of stuff. And any of these would have been worth looking at. And of course, Scott Adkins, Accident Man, Hitman's Holiday.
Oh boy, exciting. Yeah, Wendell and Wilde, also, that's the stop motion one, right? With Jordan Peele is a part of it, I believe. That should be really cool.
Yeah, I just think it's weird that they have the flashbacks to, you know, the Holocaust.
Yeah, of course. Jason, that does it. Is there something you watched recently you want to recommend before we wrap this up?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I liked Emily the Criminal a lot. Yeah, I'll recommend something, Dave, because I think I've recommended this before. You know what? Here's what I'm going to recommend. Have I talked about Trapped, the Icelandic two-season miniseries that's about, talk about good murder mysteries you can get wrapped up in? Have I talked about that on this show?
I know you've told me about it. I don't remember if it was on an episode or not, but, you know, we got new listeners all the time. Tell them about it.
It's great. It's got this actor who we would recognize from Eurovision, but he's an actor who, you know, does a ton of Icelandic shows and movies and also does, you know, English stuff. It's Ólafur Darri Ólafsson. He's so good. But anyway, there were two seasons of this on that are on Prime right now called Trapped. But recently Netflix just started airing last year's sequel, which is, you know, 8 to 10 years later called Entrapped. And it's as good as the rest of them. So that's three seasons worth of goodness for you, Dave.
Beautiful. Maybe we'll check that out. We're finally watching Succession, which I know you've told me to watch a million times. And
isn't it the best?
It's pretty great. So maybe we'll get to that next. But Jason, this is great as always. Tell people where they can find you and what's going on with the awesome movie here.
Oh, Dave, you can find me all over the socials. I got so many social medias. I'm so social. Dave, I'm at Jason Harris Comedy or J Harris Comedy on all the socials. Go for Jason on Letterboxd. Plus, don't forget on Instagram, I got my new projects, The Trivia Party and Eat This Comedy. And Dave, when are we going to do a trivia night for the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group?
It is seriously on the plans. I have been researching how the best way we're going to do it. We're going to make that happen. So everybody should definitely make sure they are in the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group, because we will be doing that soon. Trivia night with Jason. And that is going to be a lot of fun. So definitely.
Yeah. And we'll do that all as movie trivia. I have so many rounds on movie trivia. It'll be fun.
Awesome. Well, Jason, as always, thank you for being here. And we will talk to you again soon.
Okay, Dave, but don't forget, you really hated that movie.
I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harrison. We co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best picture, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming in October. Thanks to Jason Harris, as always, for being here. Make sure to check out Awesome Movie Year. And while you're at it, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. We'd appreciate your 5-star ratings, whether that's on Apple Podcasts or Good Pods or Spotify, wherever it is you're listening. Drop those 5-star ratings. It helps make sure the show gets seen by more people. And that's what we're here for, right? So you could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And check out our Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together. We actually have a bunch of advanced episodes in there right now, although a couple of them will be hitting the main feed very soon. I think Emily the Criminal will come out next week, and then Bullet Train, I think, the week after that. But there's still a few others in there, too, that are just waiting for rental release dates and stuff like that. And I believe we're recording one on Barbarian this weekend, which will hit the Patreon first, and we'll save that one for rental, too. So lots of great stuff over there on the Patreon. Also from Awesome Movie Year, they have a new bonus episode launching on there. And then stuff from my music career. I am working on 2 new albums right now to release in the next year or so. But songs and previews and bonus cuts, stuff like that, will all be hitting the Patreon. So check it out. It's the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, patreon.com/bydavidrosen. So speaking of my music, let's close this out with a piece of my music. And I think I'm going to go with, you know what? We're getting into that Halloween season with October, so let's go with something spooky. I'm going to go with a single I released around Halloween time a couple years back. And it's also part of my David Rosen Halloween playlist on Spotify. It's called Stalker. So this is a single I released, and I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.